Hey, will regulated militia be necessary to the security of a free state? The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. We are not going to be speaking with Daniel Schmutter today, but we are going to be talking about something that's going on in New Jersey. Bearing Arms contributor John Petrolino covered the fact that concealed carry applications, well, I mean, they have soared since the Bruin decision. You've got thousands, tens of thousands of New Jersey residents who are carrying a concealed firearm these days. And according to the anti-gunners at Everytown, oh, this is bad news for the Garden State. Yes, on Monday afternoon, they tweeted out applications for concealed carry permits in New Jersey skyrocketed by nearly 3,000% after the Supreme Court's reckless Bruin decision made it easier to secure permits by upending the state's existing strong gun safety laws. More guns, they say, do not make us safer. Well, you know, as John wrote, New Jersey Attorney General Matthew Platkin recently released a concealed carry data dashboard, right? So you can now go to this website and you can see for yourself just how many permits, or at least the applications, have been submitted. And they even have this handy dividing line, pre-Bruin and post-Bruin. And you can see there, right? Pre-Bruin, there were only a handful of concealed carry permits that were issued. These are the result of the, you know, quote-unquote, strong gun laws in New Jersey that kept almost everybody from being able to exercise their right to bear arms. And then what a change, at least in the terms of a number of applicants, after the Bruin decision was handed down. And eventually, the numbers started growing for the number of permits that were issued as well. Now, more than 34,000 applications received, more than 33,000 applications approved, a 3,000% spike, as Everytown noted, in the number of concealed carry applicants in New Jersey and the number of concealed carry holders, quite frankly. So that means that violent crime must have increased by 3,000%, right? I mean, you know, all these concealed carry holders running around, maybe not 3,000%. Let's maybe 300%. Or maybe 30%. But it had to have gone up, right? I mean, you can't add tens of thousands of people carrying guns in public who weren't able to do so legally before and not have crime increase, right? I mean, according to the gun control activists, more guns equals more crime. So crime must have gone up in New Jersey last year with the influx of all these concealed carry holders, right? Right? Oh, not so much. New Jersey records fewest shootings in 2023 since tracking began nearly 15 years ago. Imagine that. So they put all of these new gun laws in place, right? Well, let's take that back. They reluctantly recognized, okay, fine, we have to start issuing more concealed carry licenses, right? Started doing that mid-2023. Took a little bit of time, again, for the adjustments to be made, but you still saw that immediate spike post-Bruin. And what happened? Well, according to crime stats, last year, 924 people were shot in the state of New Jersey. That's down 13% from 2022. It's the first time ever recorded in New Jersey. Granted, the statewide records only go back to 2009, but it's at least the first time recorded that there were less than 1,000 people shot in a year. 191 homicides, which is also down 8% over 2022. So you have tens of thousands more people who are lawfully carrying a firearm in the Garden State, right? More than 30,000 of them. 3,000% increase. Everytown says this isn't going to make the state a safer place. And yet, the state is a safer place today than it was before Bruin took effect. New Jersey is a safer state today with 30,000 plus concealed carry holders than it was this time last year, well, 2 years ago, when there were, you know, a few hundred people who were permitted to exercise their right to keep and bear arms. And most of those folks, it should be noted, court officials, right? You've got judges, you've got prosecutors. The odds of the average citizen being able to obtain a concealed carry license in most New Jersey counties was slim to none. Again, you had to prove a justifiable need, right? You had to demonstrate good cause. What's your reason for wanting to carry a firearm? Well, I'm worried about my personal safety. Can you articulate a specific threat against your life? Well, no, but I have noticed that, you know, crime's been going up in my neighborhood. Not a good enough reason. My neighbor was robbed. Not a good enough reason. Why do you want to carry a firearm? Well, because it's my Second Amendment right to do so. Not a good enough reason. Again, unless you could identify some specific ongoing threat against your life, and you had to document that, right? You weren't going to get a concealed carry license because the powers that be felt like you didn't have a good enough reason to carry a gun in self-defense. Now that you don't have to articulate a specific need to carry a firearm, we are seeing, again, the influx of New Jersey residents who are saying, oh, finally, I can exercise my Second Amendment rights. Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do so. And rather than make the state a more dangerous place, as every town contends, more guns do not make us safer, right? Instead of their, it's not even a matter of dire predictions. They said this yesterday. They know damn well what the crime stats are. It took me all of 30 seconds to find this headline. New Jersey records fewest shootings in 2023 since tracking began nearly 15 years ago. They have to know that that is the case, and yet they are still repeating these lies. More guns don't make us safer. Oh, New Jersey is going to be a more dangerous place now as a result of Bruin. They know that's not the truth. They know that that's not reality. And they deny reality. They deny the facts in favor of fear-mongering, in favor of trying to scare the pants off of non-gun owners, not only in New Jersey, but around the country, right? And who do they want those non-gun owners to be afraid of? Not home invaders, not carjackers, not drive-by shooters, not muggers or juggers. Nope. Concealed carry holders. The same folks who have had to run the gauntlet of gun regulations in New Jersey. Because even though New Jersey is now a shall-issue state, there are still onerous training requirements, still costly fees, background checks. In fact, you got to go through a background check to purchase a firearm. You got to go through a background check before you purchase a firearm, actually. And then when you go to the gun store and you purchase a firearm, you got to go through another background check when you get a concealed carry permit, right? So none of that, all of those strong gun safety laws that are still in place in New Jersey, the gun control advocates, they really don't think that's enough. It's not good enough. Because as long as any average citizen, like you or I, you and me, can carry a gun, can exercise our Second Amendment rights, they say that makes the state, the city, the county, the country where you live a more dangerous place. Regardless of what the evidence shows, they are bitterly clinging to this false notion that when you allow people to protect themselves, crime is going to skyrocket. You know, in most U.S. cities across the country last year, crime went down. That includes a lot of cities that have restrictive gun control laws. That includes a lot of cities that don't have restrictive gun control laws. Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost actually asked researchers in Ohio, go look at the crime stats. Tell me what happened after a constitutional carry passed. In 6 of the 8 biggest cities in the state of Ohio, gun-involved crime went down. I mentioned this at Bearing Arms yesterday, writing a story about Oakland, California, and a 13-year-old who's now facing murder charges after illegally getting a hold of a gun and allegedly using it to kill a liquor store clerk. Oakland had more than 120 homicides last year. Oklahoma City, constitutional carry state of Oklahoma, had about 75. And seven of those were actually fentanyl deaths that were classified as homicides for the first time. So fewer than 70 traditional homicides. Oklahoma City has about 250,000 more people than Oakland, California. It has almost none of the gun control laws that are in place in California. And yet, homicides were stagnant basically in Oakland, near an all-time high. Whereas in Oklahoma City, constitutional carry Oklahoma City, homicides declined by more than 10%. Again, we can throw out all of these data points, but we don't really need to, right? Common sense tells us that more guns doesn't equal more crime. If that were the case, then every year, heck, every month, we would expect crime to rise steadily, right? We're now 4 years in to 1 million guns per month being sold, according to the National Shooting Sports Foundation. For over four straight years, I think we're up to month 53 now. That means over the past 53 months, there have been 53 million or more firearms sold at retail. And what has happened in this country? Well, we saw crime spike in 2020, right? And since then, crime has largely gone down. Now, again, there are exceptions. Washington, D.C., for example, largest number of homicides last year in at least 20 years. Memphis, Tennessee, another city that bucked the trend and saw an increase in violent crime. But across most of the country, about three quarters of the cities that crime analyst Jeff Asher took a look at, violent crime and homicides went down, and in many cases went down dramatically. Miami, Florida, another city that is now constitutional carry, right? Governor Ron DeSantis signed a constitutional, well, permitless carry last year. Miami recorded the lowest number of homicides since 1947. Did constitutional carry make Florida a more dangerous place? No. No more than shall issue right to carry has made New Jersey a more dangerous place. But the gun control groups, they can't depend on the facts. They have to go with the fiction because the facts don't fit their agenda and the facts don't fit their fundamental premise when it comes to gun ownership in this country. It's a bad thing, makes this country a more dangerous place, and it needs to be eradicated. The truth is that when Americans are able to protect themselves, when Americans are able to defend themselves, when Americans are able to exercise their right to keep and bear arms for all lawful purposes, not just self-defense, mind you, we're safer. Now, crime may go up in some cities, crime may go down in some cities. But there is absolutely no evidence, none whatsoever, that more guns equals more crime. If that were the case, then again, year after year, we would see our violent crime rate go up. We would see our homicide rate go up. That's not what's happening. You know, from the late 1960s to the early 1990s, crime basically increased. From 1991 until 2020, crime went down almost every year. More guns were sold when crime was going up. More guns were sold when crime was going down. So maybe, just maybe, the issue isn't how many guns are sold or how many guns are in the hands of lawful citizens. Maybe the answer is how many criminals are out there who feel emboldened to commit these home invasions and these drive-by shootings and these muggings because they're not concerned about the consequences. They think they can get away with it. Or they believe that even if they're caught, the long arm of the law is going to give them a slap on the wrist. I think that goes a lot farther in explaining why we are seeing our crime rates decline now than, well, they don't even have an excuse. I was going to say, the gun control groups, they really just, again, prefer to ignore those inconvenient truths in favor of their anti-gun falsehoods. All right, let's turn our attention. By the way, we will hopefully be talking with Daniel Smutter about what's going on in New Jersey, not just concealed carry, but about some of the other things that are percolating there in the courts in New Jersey, hopefully later this week. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story. Our good deed of the day and our recidivist report. We will start there with a case out of Rochester, Minnesota, where a teen was sentenced recently for a drive-by shooting, at least his role in a drive-by shooting. 18-year-old LeBron Benson Jiwa was convicted, took a plea deal to second-degree assault. He was originally charged with aiding and abetting a drive-by shooting towards a person, but prosecutors in Olmsted County, Michigan, again, decided to offer him a plea deal back in December. He took it. According to the original criminal complaint, Jiwa was accused of driving one of two vehicles that were identified as the sources of gunfire directed towards a group of individuals outside a home there in Rochester, Minnesota, last August. Court documents said the shooting followed a fistfight that occurred in the parking lot of a nearby entertainment complex. Rochester police reported that up to 30 rounds were fired, bullets hitting a nearby apartment building as well as two vehicles. Nobody injured. You know, again, this was sort of spray and pray, right? Group of people, they managed to hit an apartment building, managed to hit two vehicles, but don't actually hit any of the individuals who were standing out there. Thankfully, bad shots. Criminal complaint alleges that Jiwa held the gun that was used by a juvenile passenger to fire shots from his vehicle, that he was behind the wheel at the time of the drive-by shooting. As part of this plea deal, you ready for this? Jiwa was given a 3-year prison sentence that was immediately stayed. And instead, he was given probation for 5 years. Now, he was ordered to spend 30 days in jail this year and another 30 days in jail next year with the work release privileges. Don't know if he has to serve all 30 days consecutively, if he can do that over the weekends, you know, maybe Friday night. Sorry, fellas, I got to go to jail for the weekend. But this is amazing. By the way, there were two juveniles who were arrested in this case as well. They're going to get slaps on the wrist because they're being charged as juveniles. There's another 18-year-old, Paul Rios. He ended up taking a guilty plea to second-degree assault last month. He's scheduled to be sentenced next month. I'm going to go out on a pretty sturdy limb here and say that Rios is probably going to get a similar sentence to what Jiwa received, which is to say no real time behind bars whatsoever for something that, again, it's a pretty serious crime. Thankfully, nobody was injured, but that's more through luck, happenstance, and bad aim than anything else. But still, that's enough for prosecutors to say, no reason to put him in prison for any prolonged period of time. Today's Armed Citizen story, this is a strange one, from Chicago, Illinois, where the website CWB Chicago reports that two armed robbers got into a shootout with a security guard. And then after they left, they returned and they got shot at by a concealed carry holder. So this happened. I know. You got to be a moron. I mean, honestly, you try to rob somebody, you get shot at, you leave. And you think, you know what? I'm going to come back for more. I didn't quite have enough that first time around. So according to Chicago police, this happened back on March the 1st. There were two guys, both armed, who got out of a stolen Kia and then robbed four construction workers at gunpoint, taking their phones and their wallets. There was an off-duty sheriff's deputy who was working security there at the construction site. He intervened and exchanged shots with both of the robbers. The robbers then fled the area, but according to CWB Chicago, they came back just moments later and fired at least one shot into the air. Now, at that point, one of the victims had been robbed. Apparently, they took his phone and his wallet, but they didn't take his gun. Pulled out his handgun, he is a licensed concealed carry holder, and shot at them, forcing them to flee once again. This time they didn't make it very far. Police arrested the pair as they tried to leave the area in an Uber, according to a Chicago Police Department report. They didn't even take their stolen Kia. That's crazy. DeMarco Williams, Devin Alexander, the two individuals arrested. CWB Chicago reports that Williams has actually been on first-time weapon offender probation in a gun case since September of 2022, meaning that if he completes his probation successfully, that charge will be wiped from his books. Well, this might get in the way of that. Last September, almost exactly a year after going on probation, CWB Chicago reports that Williams was arrested in another case Acting on information, the two robbery suspects ran into an apartment building from an abandoned stolen car. Cops found Williams pretending to be asleep inside an apartment that had its front door broken. Officers say they found a gun on the bookshelf, large amount of cash on a dresser, another man suspected of being involved in 10 different robberies. Williams also had a check that had been made out to a Hispanic man who had been targeted in an armed robbery the day before, according to Chicago police. The prosecutors only charged Williams with misdemeanor theft of lost or mislaid property. The judge in this case, Barbara Dawkins, released him to await trial the next day. And it doesn't appear like there was any formal probation violation or attempt to revoke his probation even after that arrest. Now, maybe after this most recent arrest, we'll see. But apparently that's not even guaranteed in Cook County these days. Finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. Some Parks and Rec workers in Durham, North Carolina, who literally helped save the day and save the life of a man who suffered a cardiac event while playing pickleball. Yeah, I know. This is why you don't exercise. You don't have to worry about having a cardiac event while you're exercising. That's what I tell myself anyway. Becky Martin and her husband Steve, not the Steve Martin, but a Steve Martin, were playing pickleball at a rec center a couple weeks ago when Steve started feeling lightheaded, and then he blacked out. According to WTVD, park staff knew that something was wrong. They immediately jumped into action. They performed CPR. They were able to break out the portable defibrillator that was there on site, use it to jumpstart Steve's heart and get a pulse going once again. Becky Martin, addressing the Durham City Council on Monday night, where some of these Parks and Rec employees were in attendance, shared a letter that her son had written them, saying, "You're the reason that I will get to hear my father's laugh again. You are the reason that my father may one day hold his grandchildren in his arms. Thank you will not be enough for all of the precious times that you've given back to all of us." That's nice to hear. And again, to those Parks and Rec workers who were in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing to save the life of a stranger in need, we thank you for your very, very good deed. Now, that is all the time we've got for you on this edition of Barry and Arms, Cam and Company. I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Looking forward to being back with you again tomorrow. But don't forget to check out barryandarms.com. In the meantime, keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information, dispelling the lies from the other side when we have to, and giving you the news that you need about your right to keep and bear arms. If you like what you see, I'd encourage you to become a VIP or VIP Gold member. Just go to barryandarms.com/subscribe. Use the promo code SAVEAMERICA, and you can get a significant savings on your VIP membership. As always, saying thanks for showing your support. We're going to give you exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Your support really does matter, and it truly does make a difference. So thank you again. Enjoy the rest of your 2A Tuesday. I'll be joining Carl Higbee on Newsmax this afternoon in the 5 p.m. hour. I'll see you back here tomorrow for another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.